enough to use. The polarities are not standard. The levels are not standard. You have offset voltages. You have offset voltages, which are a function of the setting of some internal, like multiple beam scope. The output from a multiple beam scope may be dependent upon where the beam on the scope is. You calibrate this, and then some joker changes beams, and your output is all off. Other questions? Is Johns Hopkins serving as its own systems manager? Yes and no. We have called in consultants to help us. Most of them are from the Hopkins family, but not directly the medical institutions. In other words, we are calling upon the Applied Physics Lab, which has a completely different environment and carries the respect of an outside consultant. And I would say that yes, we are calling on outside consultants, and this has been useful to us. Is that? One more. I realize this is a very difficult question, but what I'm trying to say is that I think that any manufacturer of this kind of equipment should invest some time of their design people in working directly in a hospital. Now, many hospitals have difficulty because of tax purposes making arrangements with private industry. But I think this is extremely important, and I think you could document the companies who have succeeded, and they have primarily succeeded because they have had in-house people getting their hands bloody, as it were, in hospitals. One more.
You said allocate about 10% of systems costs for maintenance. How long a period is this? 10% per annum or over what life?
I would say about per annum. And this again is a figure that we have not documented, and it may be low, and again, it depends so much upon the type of system that you're working with.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. As our understanding of the biological system increases, we find increasingly the need for the output of the clinical laboratory, the blood and other biological specimens. We find that there are more and more tests being developed. Their significance and interpretation are becoming more and more meaningful in the diagnosis and therapy. Our next speaker is Dr. Kirkham, who is Associate Director of Laboratories at the Perth Amboy General Hospital. And Dr. Kirkham will speak on computerization of medical laboratory services.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. I might emphasize Mr. Webb's latter points there, that the manufacturer should get some experience working in a medical environment, in a direct health service environment. We have worked for the past 2.5 years with a small computer manufacturer, Spear Computers Incorporated, in developing a clinical laboratory computer system. And the gentleman from the firm actually spent at least half of their time with us in the laboratory on the system. Today, I would like to describe this system to illustrate what can be done in a clinical laboratory. The clinical laboratory is somewhat of a demarcated system, and it's more amenable, I think, to automation and computerization than some of the other medical care services. A hospital such as ours, having its medical laboratory, will render laboratory services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ours is a 500-bed hospital. We employ about 50 people, and we have an investment of some $350,000 to $500,000 in equipment. We perform about 800,000 tests a year and generate over $1 million of revenues for the hospital. A small dedicated laboratory computer program for comprehensive data handling is within the economic means of even smaller hospitals. A computer can help the laboratory provide more timely and meaningful data. If I may have the first slide, please. Now, if one looks at the clinical laboratory or the medical laboratory in a hospital, you can see that we perform testing. We perform chemistry, hematology. And many people developing systems today for clinical laboratories limit their efforts, really, in processing data from chemistry and hematology. But there's a lot of data from microbiology, from urinalysis, and blood bank. We have a system that handles chemistry, hematology, and blood bank data. We could handle the urinalysis data, but we are a little bit bound on input of data into our computer. We have a program under development to handle microbiology data. Now, in addition to this testing function, we have tissue examination functions that are overlooked by many people because they're not working directly in the laboratories and see that this is an extension of data processing capabilities that will help the laboratory physicians, and that is the information from surgical pathology, the information from autopsy pathology, and cytology data. In addition to that, there's a great deal of information, a help that can be gained by helping us manage our laboratories better, and I call this technical management, and this is a business that we're running, generating revenues and business management. Next slide. Now, by technical management, I would point out these 7 points. We have to receive requests for tests from patients, so we have to process those test requests. Then we collect the specimens and identify the specimens. Then we assign the work to the various technologists throughout the laboratory. We perform the tests, we collect the data, we generate the reports and present them back to the patient care physicians, we keep records, and we also have to maintain quality control. So I consider these technical management functions that a data processing system can help us with. Next slide. And business management, we would like to have a complete cost accounting system. We would like to be able to assign the charges automatically. This is done with our computer system. We would like to know what personnel are working overtime, how many hours overtime, what it's costing us for our personnel overhead. We would like to be able to manage our supplies and our purchasing. And we have programs that will do these, that will run on this small system that I will show you. Next slide. Now, if one looks at complete automation of the laboratory, I like to think of it in terms of automation of testing procedures, and these are the automated analytical pieces of analytical equipment that we have that one can buy from a number of manufacturers. In addition to that, there are certain operational changes that should go in setting up a clinical laboratory, and then, of course, addition of the computer. Now, the operational changes are frequently overlooked, and they're part of the contribution that can be made by the physicians who are the medical personnel who are really responsible for running the system. In our hospital, in our laboratory, we have 2 shifts of workers. We have a regular day shift that works from 7:30 till 3:30 in the afternoon, and at 3:30 we have a group of about 7 people who come to work, and they work till 11 o'clock at night. Patients being admitted to the hospital, next slide, come through an admission lounge, and they have specimens drawn in the admission lounge. And those specimens are delivered to the laboratory sometime before about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon or early evening. And the night group perform these various tests some 20 tests here on every patient being admitted. By 11 o'clock at night, the computer generates a report, and all this information is on the chart. This is in contrast to previous ways of operating clinical laboratories, in which we would wait till the next morning to get a request from the physician, and he might order one or two tests. But because of automation of analytical procedures, we're able to generate a great deal of information rather economically and in a very timely manner. I think that we may tend to reduce the hospital stay of patients by providing all this information shortly after admission. Next slide. So the laboratory computer uses are depicted here. Medical clerical, handling lots of data, managing patient records, etc. The data acquisition, acquiring data from the analytical instruments, or manual input of data into the computer, laboratory management functions, and then some research and development if you have time left over with your system. Next slide. In selecting a system, we thought these were some salient points. The system, the computer to be used, should be economical. The system that we employ can be purchased from about $70,000 to $100,000. And I think a hospital such as ours can well afford that. The system should be capable of being operated by laboratory personnel. We can't afford to have specially trained people in the laboratory to operate such a system, and a system should be designed so it is part of the laboratory equipment itself. It should handle the entire data, the lab data load. It should be easily interfaced with existing equipment. It should be readily adaptable to most laboratories. In other words, in this point, many laboratories operate about the same. So that if you can design a system that will operate in one laboratory, it will operate in a large number of laboratories with only moderate modifications. The system should always be available to the laboratory staff, and this means that it should be a laboratory computer in the laboratory. And it should operate in a manner that is acceptable to the laboratory personnel so that they don't have to change too radically to make the system work. Next slide. This is the computer we employ. It's a link-type computer with four small tape drives. It has a 4,000-word 12-bit core memory. And these tapes can be searched from one end to the other in 20 seconds. Next slide. Now, this is the typewriter format keyboard and a video display, and the computer is programmed for a conversational mode operation. Anyone that can operate the keyboard here can operate these programs. The programs have been designed so that the system will lock up if you make a mistake. It really has been rather extensively designed to facilitate communication with unskilled personnel with a computer. Next slide. We have this Kleinschmidt printer here and this teletype output. Both of these are really too slow for the laboratory. We've had to invest in a 300 line per minute printer since this picture was taken. We drove this little Kleinschmidt printer so hard that we had a breakdown maybe every week, and the clarity of the printing was not adequate. So we had to go to a line printer with this system. Now you see that these are the components of the system. It's really quite small. It doesn't represent too much of an investment, but we get a great amount of work out of this system. Next slide. Now this is the laboratory setting with a computer here and our analytical equipment in the foreground here. Next slide. Schematic of the computer. All the programs are on one of these magnetic tapes. They're read in the core as needed. All the work in process is on one magnetic tape here. All the patients in the hospital and all their data is on file in one magnetic tape here. And this magnetic tape is reserved for online data. The analytical equipment out here is online through an A to D converter, which is part of the computer. And the information is written in a segment of core and transferred up onto that magnetic tape. The computer can be hooked up to a dataphone, the keyboard's here, and the printer. You can change a tape like this in about 10 seconds, so you can put on other programs if you want, and the set of programs that runs the main, the bulk of the data processing system that we have are on the computer at all times. Next slide. For test request entry, we go, as I will illustrate, next slide. A test request comes down on a card. This is not a machine-readable card, but it's printed up because of convenience, and we identify the tests by four-digit numbers. The patient's name is here. We type in the patient hospital number, which doesn't show up very clearly on this card. Notice that on a preoperative admission, we have a 556/1 with a check digit in it. If we order a pre-op admission battery, we order it by 1 four-digit number, and the computer knows and assigns the various tests that go in to make that battery. Next slide. The operator will see this display on the keyboard. These are indicate the various programs that operate. This is for the online logging of data from the auto analyzers. This is a change program. This will call up data entry, electrophoresis program, housekeeping, miscellaneous routines, pickup lists, reports, test request entry, work lists, and other programs. If you're doing a test request entry, you hit the T button. Next slide. And the computer comes back and says, put in the hospital number, and you type in the hospital number, which has a check digit in it. Next slide. And if we have this patient on file already, the computer looks it up on the magnetic tape and displays this for you. So identifies the patient. You don't have to put this information in. If the patient has changed ward or room, one can edit it at this time. Next slide. If the patient is not in the file, then we enter the name by typing it in. Next slide. Enter the physician. Next slide. The ward and the room. Next slide. And we put in the test request. In this case, an admission battery of about 20 tests by 1 four-digit number. Next slide. Now, we need lists that will tell us what patients to go to and pick up specimens from. So we call these pickup lists. Next slide. And the computer, in a period of about 5-10 minutes, will generate all the lists that we need to pick up specimens. It identifies the ward, the room, the patient by name, by hospital number, assigns the laboratory number that we use to identify that specimen, and tells the technologist what tests are to be done. The computer also generates four labels that the technologist can peel off. These are pressure-sensitive labels, and she can label the specimens right at the bedside to assure that we have good identification of that specimen. Next slide. While the girls are out picking up specimens from the patient, we generate the work lists, and these are all the work lists that are needed in the laboratory. These are the work assignments. Next slide. And this is the format of a work list for an SMA-12 or a battery of 12 tests that are run on one instrument, showing us how to load the instrument to put these specimens in these positions on the tray. We always carry along the patient's name because the technologists learn to identify patients and associate their test results with the patient. And this is a very valuable form of quality control for us. And we have insisted that we carry the patient's name along on everything we do. Now, if we from this list, we can load the auto analyzer as indicated here and go online directly into the computer. Next slide. Now we have all the work lists, and the technologists then begin their work. And now it's time, after their work is finished, we start getting data into the system. Next slide. And this would be online data. Next slide. The analytical equipment is online, and this is strictly a logging function. There's no monitoring of these values as they come in. They're just logged and identified as to what instruments they're from. There are 12 analog lines, and so the 12 analog pieces of analog equipment can be put on this machine. We have a 12-channel analyzer and a scanning densitometer on it at the present time. A new generation of programs are almost complete so that we can have another 9 analog inputs. The instruments are sampled under program control either every 2 seconds or 8 times a second, and it stacks up in a small segment of this core. When that segment is filled, it dumps it on this tape. Now, when you get ready to process your data, you go back and pull that information from the tape back into core and process the data. So it's strictly a logging function with processing at a later time. Next slide. Here's the girl who is operating the SMA-12, a machine that runs 12 tests on each specimen. By flipping a switch here, she can put data directly into the computer. Next slide. Now, this is the type of graph that we get off the strip chart recorder, just to show you that our values are really at our plateau values that are coming out there that are the analytical values themselves. Next slide. If you want to see this coming in the computer, you can ask the computer to display the values as they're coming in to that segment of core, and this would be cholesterol, calcium, phosphorus, bilirubin, and so forth. This is a timing sequence to help you identify the test procedures if you want to do this. Ordinarily, we don't watch this coming in, except if we have some sort of trouble and we want to check it. Next slide. Now, that's online logging of data. For offline or manual input of data, we take the number on the work list, enter that number here, next slide, and it calls up that work list and tells us what patient we're reporting on. And since the only way of putting data into this machine is either online or through this small keyboard, the programs allow for the maximum efficiency of keyboard operation, so that one just fills in these spaces to put the data in. Next slide. Now, the scanning densitometer is online. This is for our protein electrophoresis. I won't bother to point out the medical significance of that. Next slide. But this information comes online. It's stored on the small magnetic tape. We have a waveform here that we integrate under the various components of this curve. This is the way it looks. We store it on tape. We call it back into the core, and we display it. We bring a baseline up here to define the base. We move this little light point along and define the various components of this electrophoretic pattern. Next slide. The computer makes all the calculations and prints a separate report like this with all the heading information identifying the patient and the physician, makes 14 calculations, presents the various components of the serum proteins in terms of their concentration, in terms of their percent, gives the upper and lower limit of normal for each of those, and actually now will indicate which one of these values is high or low by placing an H or an L by the result. And in addition to that, it codes this pattern and makes some suggestions. It looks this code up in dictionaries that we have in the computer and prints out some suggestions, such as here, pattern most frequently found in sarcoidosis, may also be found in multiple myeloma, etc., etc. So it does have some sort of a it comes up with some differential suggestions. This report goes to the pathologist, who looks at it to verify or to add anything that he would like to. Next slide. Now, checklists are lists that indicate to us what the computer has received. Obviously, if you make a clerical error in putting information into the computer, you want to correct that. Clerks who operate our keyboard are not, we don't think they're capable of making the discriminatory type of judgment that's needed. A decimal point to them won't mean much, but it will to a medical technologist. We ask the computer to generate all checklists that are just like our work list to show what was put into the computer. Now, these go back to the technologist, and the technologist must verify that this information is correct. Next slide. And this would be the sort of checklist that would be generated with the numbers that came on. This actually would come online from the 12-channel analyzer. Next slide. Then we want to generate reports. Next slide. And there are certain characteristics of this report. We've had to use abbreviated test titles. Our physicians got used to these test titles fairly readily. We also present the low and high normal values based on the patient's age and sex. There are 12 different dictionaries of normal values in the computer. The computer looks at the age and the sex and will call forth that that group of normal values and print them out, and then we'll print the test results. Here's a glucose of 220. Here's the hemoglobin, hematocrit, red count, white count, and so forth with the normal values. Now, this report is strictly a report that is made about 10:30 in the morning to get out information to the physicians as fast as possible. Next slide. The cumulative reports, the major report during the day, comes out in the afternoon about 2:30 to 3 o'clock. Next slide. And this is what we've been working for. We can call all the inpatient reports on all the inpatients, one inpatient, all outpatients, or one outpatient. If a physician comes to me and he wants to talk about a patient that's in the hospital, I can go to the computer and call up a cumulative report. In other words, all the data that we have on that individual since he has been hospitalized, get a report out and sit down and discuss the values with him. Next slide. So in the afternoon, I seem to be missing a slide. Could we go back one? Did we miss one? Back one more, please. All right, let's go ahead. No, that's right. This cumulative report is the current data plus all the previous data on that patient. Therefore, the cumulative report has all the data structured in tabular form. I think it may be, the slide may come up a little later. In addition to that, we print discharge summaries. This is when a patient is discharged from the hospital, we are notified of this. We type in the hospital number, and we summarize all the laboratory results for the patient's chart. In addition to that, and something that I think is unique in laboratory operation, is that we print a carbon copy of that summary and send it to the physician for his office records. I don't know of a laboratory in the country other than ours that is producing all the laboratory information and making it available for the physician in his office. Next slide. The computer helps us in managing our laboratory by telling us what procedures were requested and what procedures have not been finished. Next slide. And this is a comprehensive report of unfinished procedures. And this helps the biochemist and the clinical pathologist to go around and see what tests haven't been completed. Here now on a patient of a given physician, we haven't completed the T4 or the serum lead, or here the SMA12 or cephalin flocculation. This helps us run a better laboratory because we can monitor those tests that have not been completed. And that is very important, a very important practical point, and something that it really takes somebody who's involved in the daily operation to realize how significant this type of report is. Next slide. This is a report of all the patients on whom we're doing work the day in a given day, telling us where they're located in the hospital. If we have to call and find out some information about those patients, we have a nice list of them. Next slide. And this is an unfinished report. If we want to find out all the patients on whom we have, let's say, T3s ordered, and we haven't finished those, we can get a list of those patients. Next slide. At the housekeeping, at the end of the day, we produce certain statistics reports, tells a census report telling us how many tests were done. We transfer our outpatient data over to another tape, copy our tapes, pack our files, and erase our online data. You can see that with this and our editing programs and so forth, this is a rather extensive group of programs to run on such a small machine. Next slide. This is a daily statistical summary. It will tell us what the average hemoglobin was and what the standard deviation is. This will give us the mean value and standard deviation for all the tests that we do that day. Next slide. At the end of the day, we also put on a separate billing program that we have written. Next slide. And we call out the tests, the charges associated with those tests, identifying this with the patient. We send this to the central hospital computer room. They key punch this in the cards. Mm-hmm. Now we're set up to come out with this information on punch paper tape. They will get a punch paper tape card converter so that this information can go directly into the central computer. Next slide. In addition to the programs that I have described for you, we also have programs that will handle our surgical pathology data, our autopsy pathology data, and our cytology data. Now, these are usually run between 8:30 and 9:30 in the morning when we're not online with our analytical instruments. Next slide. Then we have programs for inventory control. Next slide. And we also have programs that will do certain statistical analyses. This is a histogram on protein-bound items, iodine. I think that's all the slides. What I've tried to do is to present from a user's viewpoint a system that will operates in a clinical laboratory, operates on a daily basis, evolved over a period of 2 years, and we think it's quite successful in the way it operates with very little downtime. It's operated by non-computer people, and we're very satisfied with this system at the present time and consider it completely adequate for a hospital of our size.
You have a data phone. How do you use it, Bailey?
We have a... You saw a picture of a data phone there. This computer does not have a data phone interface on it. We had a previous model of this, and we have it in a research laboratory of ours. We have used it only for demonstration purposes of how you can print remotely with a teletypewriter. But we don't have... we're not using the data phone on a daily basis or anything. Our stats are emergency tests, are treated as emergencies. We handle them strictly manually. The request for an emergency test procedure comes to the laboratory. We dispatch a technologist to pick up the specimen and do the test, and the results are called to the physician and hand-carried to the ward. Then the reports are held and at a convenient time. They're grouped together, and this information is put into the computer. In the left-hand margin of our report, there's a couple of X's indicating that this was a stat procedure that was done on that day. And I must say that I'm a little chagrined to think that the major, one of the most important slides, the cumulative summary report, didn't seem to get in my group of slides. And that's a very beautiful report, which will show the date on which a test was done and has a whole beautiful presentation of the data for the physician so that he can recognize certain trends in the data that aren't apparent to him when the test results are scattered throughout the chart. I might say this, that just on lost charges, we have found that we've picked up several thousand dollars in missing charges per month since we had this billing program. The system is not really very expensive. I hesitate to say what the cost really is. I don't think it's over seven cents per patient per day to use this system in the laboratory. But in addition to that, our work capacity has increased because about 30% of technologists' time is spent in clerical functions. And this has relieved them of a great deal of that. And I think that I tell people that we could double our productivity from the laboratory if we had that demand for tests because of the aid that we get with this system.